General instructions. You will have 30 seconds to read the questions before each task. Every recording will be played twice, with a short pause in between. You will have 30 seconds to revise your answers after the second time the recording is played. A single beep will mark the beginning of the complete listening comprehension exercise. A double beep will mark the end of the complete listening comprehension exercise. Task 1. Read headings B to I carefully and listen to the recordings. In block capitals, write the letter of the heading which goes with each recording in the space provided, as in example 0. There is one extra heading which does not go with any of the recordings. Answers must be based exclusively on the information in the recording. Now you have some time to read the information below.
Example 0.
But if it's like a tight pair of jeans, then I'm not going to risk buying them online because I know chances are they probably won't fit properly, and I don't want to have to go through the whole hassle of like returning something and shipping it back. So that's definitely something to keep in mind when you're shopping online, is your height, your size, and just thinking, okay, what are the chances that this will fit me properly before you go in and make the purchase. If it's a store that I really know well and I've bought multiple things from them in the past and I know it fits properly, then I have no problem. But if it's someone I haven't ordered from before, I'm always really skeptical, so I'd rather just not.
1.
If you've purchased products online before, you're probably familiar with some of the larger retailers like Amazon or eBay. These sites have become so popular in part because they've earned a good reputation for protecting their customers' personal information. With sites like these, there's less to worry about in general. However, there may be a time when you find that the hunt for a rare or specific item has taken you off the beaten path in the online marketplace. If you find yourself shopping on an unfamiliar site, make sure to look for HTTPS and the padlock symbol in the address bar. These things indicate that the site is SSL encrypted, which means it provides the security necessary to better protect your personal information.
2.
To have the best possible experience buying online, there are a few important things to remember, and it all starts with your computer at home. Making sure your computer's operating system and internet browser are up to date and installing some good malware protection software is your first line of defense against viruses, malware, or fraudulent activity. To further protect sensitive information like credit card numbers, your best bet is to shop from home. Avoid using public Wi-Fi or public PCs like library computers.
3.
So many options available, but if you're unfamiliar with the company, then it's so important to do your research and make sure that your money is being well spent. So there's a few good options online for checking out stores. Usually they have a rating, and those are all from customer reviews. You can see all the negative reviews, you can see positive reviews, and then you can see how the company has responded to those. So that's a really great way to do your research on a company, just to see how their customer service is. There's no worse feeling than feeling like your money was not well spent or you felt cheated by a company. So it's so important to do your research before you make any sort of commitment with your hard-earned money.
4.
And always be sure to make note of phone numbers and physical addresses, so you know how to make contact in case there's a problem with your transaction. No matter what site you're shopping on, whenever you log in with an online retailer, You want to make sure that your passwords are strong, long, and different for every site that you shop with. This will make it harder for your account to be hacked, further protecting your privacy. Above all else, remember to never send cash through the mail, use a money wiring service, give out your social security number, or send credit card information over email.
Five.
Often, there is really only one thing standing between your sensitive information and criminals, your password. They can get into bank accounts and private files and wreak havoc. It's important to know what makes a password strong and secure. In addition to single words, phrases can also be easy to remember. Maybe it's a favorite song lyric or quote. An example is, Jack and Jill went up the hill. That's easy to remember, right? Well, your password is there. It's the first letter of each word. That's not something that's easily guessed. First, it's not in the dictionary. This makes guessing it harder. There are about 60,000 words in English. A computer can test out those words pretty quickly, so don't use them. This password could still be stronger by adding uppercase letters, numbers, or special characters.
Six.
So I try now to shop more with a list in mind instead of just going on websites and browsing through absolutely everything, because that's a great way to buy a bunch of stuff that you really don't need. So when you have a list of things that you really want, then you're not overspending and you're just adding what you actually need to your wardrobe. So I find using the search bar, like say I was on the hunt for a black pencil skirt, then I would search black skirt and see what pops up, and I'll go to all my favorite stores and see what's popping up there, and then I'll narrow it down to my favorite from there. But that's just a really great way to avoid the whole browsing and adding everything to your cart. You will not regret that.
Seven.
Once you're ready to purchase something, there are a few things to keep in mind when it comes to safe payment options. Credit cards are generally your safest option. Or you can also use an online payment service like PayPal or Google Wallet. These services keep your credit card information stored on a secure server, allowing you to make purchases through them without revealing sensitive information to retailers. After you've made a purchase, print or save your records of the transaction. Keeping a paper trail of your purchase will be valuable in the event that you have to dispute anything later.
Now, listen again.
Example 0.
But if it's like a tight pair of jeans, then I'm not going to risk buying them online because I know chances are they probably won't fit properly, and I don't want to have to go through the whole hassle of like returning something and shipping it back. So that's definitely something to keep in mind when you're shopping online, is your height, your size, and just thinking, okay, what are the chances that this will fit me properly before you go in and make the purchase? If it's a store that I really know well and I've bought multiple things from them in the past and I know it fits properly, then I have no problem. But if it's someone I haven't ordered from before, I'm always really skeptical, so I'd rather just not.
One.
If you've purchased products online before, you're probably familiar with some of the larger retailers like Amazon or eBay. These sites have become so popular in part because they've earned a good reputation for protecting their customers' personal information. With sites like these, there's less to worry about in general. However, there may be a time when you find that the hunt for a rare or specific item has taken you off the beaten path in the online marketplace. If you find yourself shopping on an unfamiliar site, make sure to look for HTTPS and the padlock symbol in the address bar. These things indicate that the site is SSL encrypted, which means it provides the security necessary to better protect your personal information.
2.
To have the best possible experience buying online, there are a few important things to remember, and it all starts with your computer at home. Making sure your computer's operating system and internet browser are up to date and installing some good malware protection software is your first line of defense against viruses, malware, or fraudulent activity. To further protect sensitive information like credit card numbers, your best bet is to shop from home. Avoid using public Wi-Fi or public PCs like library computers.
3.
So many options available, but if you're unfamiliar with the company, then it's so important to do your research and make sure that your money is being well spent. So there's a few good options online for checking out stores. Usually they have a rating, and those are all from customer reviews. You can see all the negative reviews, you can see positive reviews, and then you can see how the company has responded to those. So that's a really great way to do your research on a company, just to see how their customer service is. There's no worse feeling than feeling like your money was not well spent or you felt cheated by a company. So it's so important to do your research before you make any sort of commitment with your hard-earned money.
4.
And always be sure to make note of phone numbers and physical addresses, so you know how to make contact in case there's a problem with your transaction. No matter what site you're shopping on, whenever you log in with an online retailer, you want to make sure that your passwords are strong, long, and different for every site that you shop with. This will make it harder for your account to be hacked, further protecting your privacy. Above all else, remember to never send cash through the mail, use a money wiring service, give out your social security number, or send credit card information over email.
5.
Often, there is really only one thing standing between your sensitive information and criminals, your password. They can get into bank accounts and private files and wreak havoc. It's important to know what makes a password strong and secure. In addition to single words, phrases can also be easy to remember. Maybe it's a favorite song lyric or quote. An example is, Jack and Jill went up the hill. That's easy to remember, right? Well, your password is there. It's the first letter of each word. That's not something that's easily guessed. First, it's not in the dictionary. This makes guessing it harder. There are about 60,000 words in English. A computer can test out those words pretty quickly, so don't use them. This password could still be stronger by adding uppercase letters, numbers, or special characters.
6.
So I try now to shop more with a list in mind instead of just going on websites and browsing through absolutely everything, because that's a great way to buy a bunch of stuff that you really don't need. So when you have a list of things that you really want, then you're not overspending and you're just adding what you actually need to your wardrobe. So I find using the search bar, like say I was on the hunt for a black pencil skirt, then I would search black skirt and see what pops up, and I'll go to all my favorite stores and see what's popping up there, and then I'll narrow it down to my favorite from there. But that's just a really great way to avoid the whole browsing and adding everything to your cart. You will not regret that.
7.
Once you're ready to purchase something, there are a few things to keep in mind when it comes to safe payment options. Credit cards are generally your safest option. Or you can also use an online payment service like PayPal or Google Wallet. These services keep your credit card information stored on a secure server, allowing you to make purchases through them without revealing sensitive information to retailers. After you've made a purchase, print or save your records of the transaction. Keeping a paper trail of your purchase will be valuable in the event that you have to dispute anything later.
2. Read the notes below and listen carefully to the recordings. in the spaces provided in block capitals. Complete the information required with no more than 4 words. Gap 0 is given as an example. Answers must be based exclusively on the information in the recording. Now you have some time to read the information below.
Part 1.
Dominic Davis, and I'm a psychotherapist with over 25 years' experience, and today I'm going to talk about confidence at work. Even the most accomplished people can sometimes feel insecure and doubt their abilities. This is perfectly normal. Learning to overcome these feelings and becoming more confident at work will make you a happier and more effective worker in the long run. We've put together this advice on how to feel more confident at work. Step 1. Be positive. Try to focus on your skills and talents as much as possible. Building self-esteem is about finding out what your strengths are and then developing and building on them. Your employer would not have given you the job if they did not recognize certain attributes in you. When dealing with colleagues at work, try not to compare your achievements to theirs. You should succeed on your own terms. Step 2. Communicate. When you're getting to know people at work, use conversation to build trust and find common ground. Use the name of the person you're talking to. This not only makes conversation more personal, but also helps you remember people's names. Remember that clear and open communication at work is vital for building confidence and maintaining healthy relationships at work. Step 3. Act confident. The way you present yourself to others can also help you feel more confident. Be aware of how you hold yourself and the signals that your body language is sending out. Another tool you can use to build confidence is the clothes that you wear. And finally, never underestimate the power of a smile. It makes you more approachable and helps you feel better.
Part 2.
How to change your career. People are now having more career changes than ever before, often moving into a completely new direction several times in their lifetime. Magdalene is a careers advisor at the King's College London Careers Service and has shared her expertise with hundreds of clients at various different stages of their careers.
It can be very daunting leaving behind an established career and moving into something new, but the results can be extremely rewarding. There are some factors to consider, however, when you're moving into a new line of work. Step 1. Why do you want to change? Think about the reason you want to make a career change. If you're no longer fulfilled by your job, a new challenge could be just what you need. Step 2. Finding your new job. Once you know what line of work you want to change to, consider whether you have the necessary skills for it. You may have to get some additional training or education before you can start work in your chosen field. It can also help to gain some unpaid experience in the form of volunteering or an internship. It's important to do lots of research into your new line of work. Step 3, your new career. When you've found the job you want in your new line of work, bear in mind that it will take some time for you to adapt. In some cases, you'll have to start from the very bottom of the ladder again. You may also have to take a salary cut, and this will take some getting used to.
Now, listen again.
Part 1.
Dominic Davis, and I'm a psychotherapist with over 25 years' experience, and today I'm going to talk about confidence at work. Even the most accomplished people can sometimes feel insecure and doubt their abilities. This is perfectly normal. Learning to overcome these feelings and becoming more confident at work will make you a happier and more effective worker in the long run. We've put together this advice on how to feel more confident at work. Step 1. Be positive. Try to focus on your skills and talents as much as possible. Building self-esteem is about finding out what your strengths are and then developing and building on them. Your employer would not have given you the job if they did not recognise certain attributes in you. When dealing with colleagues at work, try not to compare your achievements to theirs. You should succeed on your own terms. Step 2. Communicate. When you're getting to know people at work, use conversation to build trust and find common ground. Use the name of the person you're talking to. This not only makes conversation more personal, but also helps you remember people's names. Remember that clear and open communication at work is vital for building confidence and maintaining healthy relationships at work. Step 3. Act confident. The way you present yourself to others can also help you feel more confident. Be aware of how you hold yourself and the signals that your body language is sending out. Another tool you can use to build confidence is the clothes that you wear. And finally, never underestimate the power of a smile. It makes you more approachable and helps you feel better.
Part 2.
How to change your career. People are now having more career changes than ever before, often moving into a completely new direction several times in their lifetime. Magdalene is a careers advisor at the King's College London Careers Service and has shared her expertise with hundreds of clients at various different stages of their careers.
It can be very daunting leaving behind an established career and moving into something new, but the results can be extremely rewarding. There are some factors to consider, however, when you're moving into a new line of work. Step 1. Why do you want to change? Think about the reason you want to make a career change. If you're no longer fulfilled by your job, a new challenge could be just what you need. Step 2. Finding your new job. Once you know what line of work you want to change to, consider whether you have the necessary skills for it. You may have to get some additional training or education before you can start work in your chosen field. It can also help to gain some unpaid experience in the form of volunteering or an internship. It's important to do lots of research into your new line of work. Step 3. Your new career. When you've found the job you want in your new line of work, bear in mind that it will take some time for you to adapt. In some cases, you'll have to start from the very bottom of the ladder again. You may also have to take a salary cut, and this will take some getting used to.
Task 3. Read the statements carefully and listen to the recording. Choose the option A, B, or C that best completes each statement. Mark the correct option in the space provided, as in example 0. Only one option is correct. Answers must be based exclusively on the information in the recording. Now you have some time to read the information below.
We got some tips for families and for drivers this morning. And for that, we're joined by Zoe Watson. She's the superintendent for Anglophone South School District, and she joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Julia, and happy new school year.
Happy new year, as you like
That's
to say.
Right.
Yes.
Happy new year.
How many school buses are there out on the roads this morning from St. Stephen all the way to Sussex? And
well, our school district, Julia, encompasses 70 schools from the Fundy Islands all the way up to Sussex Corner. And we have 229 school buses out there this morning. And we would be busing each day about 18,000 of our 23,000 students.
So that's a lot of kids.
18,000 children. And each day, our buses travel about 33,000 kilometers. So that's a lot.
So what are those peak hours for all those buses on the roads?
Well, our buses would start out in the morning around 7 o'clock, certainly between 7, 8:30, busy time. And then in the afternoon, our elementary schools start dismissing around a quarter to 2 in the afternoon, and our high school's out at 3:30. So the buses are out there until about 4:30, quarter to 5.
Okay, so the drivers will be noticing that today, I would imagine. Let's talk about the morning side of things. You know,
okay.
If your kid is catching a bus for the first time today, what do they need to keep in mind?
Well, we always advise parents to have their children at the bus stop just a little bit earlier those first few days. Once children do get in school, our bus driver coaches conduct safety sessions at each school, but very important, I guess, hence our message this morning to drivers, that we have children on the bus, but we also have children who are waiting at the side of the road. We have children who are going to be walking to school today. And sometimes in schoolyards, there's a fair bit of congestion as well, especially on a rainy morning when families are up and running again.
Are your drivers of buses talking to you about what they're seeing on the roads? And
yes, very good point. Actually, for the last couple of years, our bus drivers would bring this forth as a concern. And we are seeing more and more drivers going through the flashing red lights of school buses. School buses are large vehicles. They have the flashing yellow to indicate that they're going to stop, the flashing red. Some of them have strobe lights on the top. They have an arm that comes out. But our drivers are concerned about the number of vehicles that are going through the red lights.
This is hard to enforce now, too, because we only have the one plate, and it's on the bus driver to actually identify that vehicle and report someone who goes through the flashing light. So are you taking steps to kind of combat this in a new way?
Well, a couple of things. Last January, our district met with the local law enforcement agencies and brought this up, and they were very happy to come on board with us and do what we could together. So we have our red light postcard campaign that many of the police detachments have been using and passing out at their roadside stops. And then this summer, we became part of a pilot with the Department of Education and Early Childhood Development in having external cameras on a number of our school buses. Because that's one of the frustrations, that if a vehicle goes through the red light, very difficult for our driver to get the license plate, be able to identify the driver. Our buses are outfitted with GPS systems, so we are able to tell that the red lights and the yellow lights did go on, but the identification that we need has been challenging for us to get. So with the external cameras, there will now be video footage, and we are working with public safety, and they will be following up on infractions.
I mean, drivers don't want to be unsafe here. I mean, they're trying to cut corners and trying to be on time for work or something. I mean, why is it so important for them to keep in mind kids exiting and entering the school bus?
Well, Julia, we have many children who have to cross the street to get across to meet their bus, and the bus drivers are doing all they can to watch the traffic and signal to the student to come across the street. But just so important, because none of us wants to hear about an accident involving a child. And a lot of responsibility that our bus drivers have. There's certainly 229 professional drivers who've had training and coaching, but the last thing we want to hear is that, you know, there has been an accident.
Absolutely.
Now, listen again.
We got some tips for families and for drivers this morning. And for that, we're joined by Zoe Watson. She's the superintendent for Anglophone South School District, and she joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Julia, and happy new school year.
Happy new year, as you like
That's
to say.
Right.
Yes.
Happy new year.
How many school buses are there out on the roads this morning from St. Stephen all the way to Sussex? And
well, our school district, Julia, encompasses 70 schools from the Fundy Islands all the way up to Sussex Corner, and we have 229 school buses out there this morning, and we would be busing each day about 18,000 of our 23,000 students. So
that's a lot of kids.
18,000 children. And each day, our buses travel about 33,000 kilometers. So that's a lot.
So what are those peak hours for all those buses on the roads?
Well, our buses would start out in the morning around 7 o'clock, certainly between 7, 8:30, busy time. And then in the afternoon, our elementary schools start dismissing around 1:45 in the afternoon, and our high school's out at 3:30. So the buses are out there until about 4:30, 4:45.
Okay, so the drivers will be noticing that today, I would imagine. Let's talk about the morning side of things. You know, if your kid is catching a bus for the first time today, what do they need to keep in mind?
Well, we always advise parents to have their children at the bus stop just a little bit earlier those first few days. Once children do get in school, our bus driver coaches conduct safety sessions at each school, but very important, I guess, hence our message this morning to drivers, that we have children on the bus, but we also have children who are waiting at the side of the road. We have children who are going to be walking to school today. And sometimes in schoolyards, there's a fair bit of congestion as well, especially on a rainy morning when families up and running again.
Are your drivers of buses talking to you about what they're seeing on the roads? And
yes, very good point. Actually, for the last couple of years, our bus drivers would bring this forth as a concern. And we are seeing more and more drivers going through the flashing red lights of school buses. School buses are large vehicles. They have the flashing yellow to indicate that they're going to stop, the flashing red. Some of them have strobe lights on the top. They have an arm that comes out. But our drivers are concerned about the number of vehicles that are going through the red lights.
This is hard to enforce now, too, because we only have the one plate, and it's on the bus driver to actually identify that vehicle and report someone who goes through the flashing light. So are you taking steps to kind of combat this in a new way?
Well, a couple of things. Last January, our district met with the local law enforcement agencies and brought this up, and they were very happy to come on board with us and do what we could together. So we have our red light postcard campaign that many of the police detachments have been using and passing out at their roadside stops. And then this summer, we became part of a pilot with the Department of Education and Early Childhood Development in having external cameras on a number of our school buses. Because that's one of the frustrations, that if a vehicle goes through the red light, very difficult for our driver to get the license plate, be able to identify the driver. Our buses are outfitted with GPS systems, so we are able to tell that the red lights and the yellow lights did go on, but the identification that we need has been challenging for us to get. So with the external cameras, there will now be video footage, and we are working with public safety, and they will be following up on infractions.
I mean, drivers don't want to be unsafe here. I mean, they're trying to cut corners and trying to be on time for work or something. I mean, why is it so important for them to keep in mind kids exiting and entering the school bus?
Well, Julia, we have many children who have to cross the street to get across to meet their bus, and the bus drivers are doing all they can to watch the traffic and signal to the student to come across the street. But just so important, because none of us wants to hear about an accident involving a child. And a lot of responsibility that our bus drivers have. There's certainly 229 professional drivers who've had training and coaching, but the last thing we want to hear is that, you know, there has been an accident.
Absolutely.
This is the end of the complete listening comprehension test.